All right. We're dealing with a subject that is not the most pleasant subject that we could deal with, but it's in the Bible, so it must be preached. I'd like to look at our text first of all. I omitted one passage that I added later after the bulletins were already printed. The first one we'll look at is Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9. The show of their countenance, expression on their face, doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. And then if you'll turn to the book of Proverbs, go back a few books here, and go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Proverbs 16, 18. Which simply reads, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we live in times in which this world needs to hear these words so badly. And yet we see that they have an impotent face. They are so wickedly determined to do their evil. Lord, I pray you'd have mercy on them. Cause them to see the error of their ways, and may you help us to be bold as the righteous should be bold. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, and may you be honored and glorified in our midst. For we pray in the name of God, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen. The shameful sin of sodomy. With all the emphasis this month on Gay Pride Month, I cannot help but speak up. We should never be intimidated by the wicked when God is on our side. We don't want to carry a chip on our shoulder, obviously, but we must be bold. We must speak the truth, and we need to speak the truth in love. But the whole idea of gay pride is an oxymoron if there ever was one. There's nothing gay about it, and there's nothing to be proud of. Matter of fact, it's a shameful thing. Amen. And we might want to define what is shame, because I don't think our culture knows what it is. Right. They have no idea. And in the original Hebrew and Greek, the idea is when someone is full of shame or they're ashamed, it means they are made little, is what the word means. To whisper, to blush, to be embarrassed, in other words, to be reproached. That's what people who engage in this sin of sodomy should be. And, you know, I'm not just picking on this particular sin, any sin, whatever sin that you or I would ever commit, or anybody, we should be ashamed of. It just gets me when you hear of the Cartoon Network celebrating LGBTQ. Can you imagine influencing little children? How sick and depraved can you get? Amen. It's like when you offend one of these little ones, that's a serious thing. Matter of fact, sad to say, they are one of the primary ones who are engaged in pedophilia. The Christian baker Jack Phillips is being sued the third time over not baking cakes for those who are sodomites or those like them. Somewhere along the way, June became designated a celebration of, I'll just say, sodomy. That's the biblical term. And we need to be aware of this perversion that's pervading our culture today like never before. It's celebrated all over our country by governments, businesses, the colors of the rainbow, which is not... The rainbow is to celebrate that God's not going to destroy this earth by a flood anymore. And they've turned it around and made a perverted thing. Parades are commemorating this sick, shameful sin all over our country this month. I was just talking to Dougie there, Newell, at the conference, and how they in Charleston, West Virginia, they were doing that. They were doing that very same thing on those streets. It is a movement that is promoted as being mainstream in our country, even though it's only 2.7% of the population. If you throw in the millennials, it's 4.5% of the population. How does that happen? Well, they've had a lot of help with the media and the higher-ups. Such a small percentage, but such a powerful influence in our country today. It's banded together to become one of the most powerful political forces in our country. With all the positive portrayals on television and on movies, in spite of it being such a small minority. Matter of fact, on primetime television, nearly 9% of all characters are part of that movement. Even though it's 4.5 at the most of our population. But it's turned the tables on our culture. I remember back in the 1990s, sodomy was considered abnormal and certainly wasn't something to be proud about. And things have changed so much. If you remember back in 2014, there was a man named Michael Sam who was selected in an NFL draft. And because he was the first openly sodomite player drafted, the media made a big deal over it. And he was recorded live on ESPN doing something. I ain't going to talk about it. But doing something that was sodomizing or in that same category. Right there on television. And interestingly enough, one of the Miami Dolphins defensive back, Don Jones, tweeted OMG and horrible in reaction to the ESPN video. And then he was swiftly fined an undisclosed amount of money and suspended from all team activities until he completed sensitivity training. And so he subsequently deleted all his tweets, made his Twitter account private, and issued a public apology to Sam, calling his biased comments about the sodomite player inappropriate. That's the power of this movement in our country today. It's going to likely more and more cost people their livelihood. So plan accordingly. Our plans may have to change, possibly. It may not be such a great place to live. Plan accordingly. The Miami Dolphins player said what millions of Americans think about it, but so many are too afraid to say it. It's gotten to a point now that if you say anything like that, you're considered a bigot and a hater. And for a lot of Americans, they may have to go to diversity training because of that, if they would dare do that. Diversity training is simply a code of force feeding the LGBTQ agenda. In many ways, we could say that they've conquered the Western world. The only thing they have not conquered is the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are on their target. We are targets. We are in their sights. And I think we need to be ready. We know that the scriptures speak very explicitly against sodomy.
Amen.
It's immoral, it's unnatural, it's unhealthy, and so many people, the majority of people, recognize that. But we want to look at, first of all, sodomy is shameful because our Creator says so. That should be enough right there. In Genesis chapter 19, we see the first, this is where the whole term of sodomy came from. That's why I like that term better. Homosexuality is too soft a term. And definitely gay is just a misrepresentation of what it really is. It's a lie. But in Genesis chapter 19, verse 4, it says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter." That is Lot's house. He had the two angels or messengers there, staying at his house, who had just left Abraham's place. And it says, "And called Lot unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men?" These are men wanting to see these men which came into thee this night. Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Do things to them that only men and women are to do when they're married, in other words. "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." He had that right, didn't he? "Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Now you can see how the sexual perversity that was pervading that area affected Lot's thinking here. But goes on, it says, "And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge." You're going to hear words like that. "Who are you to judge me?" Well, I'm not judging anybody. God's the judge, and he says it in his word that it's a sin. It's a devastating, hurtful, shameful sin that's going to do you no good. It's only going to hurt you. "Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door." What happens when people get into power that are wicked? They start forcing their beliefs on you. And it says, And they pressed sore upon the uneven Lot and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou any here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hasted Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And then we move on down to verse 24, and it says, Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he withdrew his city, those cities and all the plain, and overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew on the ground. Has there any other sin been dealt with in such severity? No. You can't just say it's like any other sin in that respect. God especially abhors and hates this sin. And we see that supported in the New Testament, which some would say, well, the New Testament is more loving and more, you know, generous and lenient and all these things. Well, Jesus said in Luke 17:29, he repeats this, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And he didn't make any apologies for it at all. This meek and mild Jesus. And then Peter in 2 Peter 2, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. It's ungodliness. Sodomy is. But not only is sodomy shameful because our Creator says so, but sodomy is shameful because it's against the creative order. I mean, if everyone practiced sodomy, there would be no children, and pretty soon we'd go into extinction. It's just not natural. Notice what it says in Jude chapter 1 and verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange, unnatural, strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And then we find there in Romans chapter 1, it says in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, wicked desires, ungodly desires that they wanted. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. It don't take a lot of imagination to know what in the world that's talking about. Amen. It's against nature. It's unnatural. And then thirdly, sodomy is shameful because it brings the judgment of God. We've seen a little bit of that already, but notice that it says there in 1 Kings 14:24, and there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. These other nations that were cast out were practicing sodomy. And because of that, those nations were judged. So we're hurting our own selves as a nation. As long as we allow this to be going on the way that it's going on, especially in the way in which it's being force-fed upon people. Find there in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13, speaking of God's judgment, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Revival and restoration of a nation is indicated by, one of the indicators is the removal of sodomy in a land. In 1 Kings 15:12, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land, removed all the idols that his fathers had made. In 1 Kings 22:46, and the remnant of the Sodomites which remained in the late days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. 2 Kings 23:7, and he broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. In other words, before the revival was a time of darkness. After the Sodomites were removed from the land, there was revival and restoration. The other thing that's so the judgment of God that we see, because we see that it's God hates it, He judges it even in this life. It is harmful to the person and the persons who are involved with it. We have, I'm not even going to try to pronounce these words, but the abbreviation is HPV, hepatitis, rectal and throat gonorrhea. They call it gay bowel syndrome, HIV, AIDS, anal cancer, and more can be traced back to sodomy. That's God's judgment. What's particularly sad is that it's normal for a sodomite to have an STD, a sexually transmitted disease. It's normal. And continue to have this unprotected sodomizing activity. And I've looked up some of this stuff online that on some of their health websites, they talk about the problem. And doctors have said to continue regardless and just get surgery. That's sick. It's sick. It's hurtful. It's madness. It's so different than the God-sanctioned, God-ordained union between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. But like I said in the text there in Isaiah 3:9, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. They're not in the closet anymore. They're proud of their abomination, as God calls it. Woe unto their soul. And that's the greatest issue right there. Their soul. Their never dying soul. It says, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. And really, in some sense, they are damning themselves to an eternal damnation in hell because of what they do. We saw the judgment there in Sodom and Gomorrah. We mentioned Romans chapter 1. But let's read the next verse in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't want to even hear about it. That's the way it is. They try to drown you out. They're not willing to have a calm, reasonable conversation or discussion. They're just like mad animals that cannot think, that will not reason, that definitely do not love. Because if there was love and they had something so great, they'd be willing to discuss it. But they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Matter of fact, they're so inconvenient it will send you to hell. But the good news is, sodomy is shameful, but Christ bore that kind of shame at Calvary. Now, what do I mean by that? First of all, look at the Messianic Psalm and Psalm 69. Psalm 69 in verse 7 through 9. It says in verse 7, speaking of Christ, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. And then if you look over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus. This is the message they need to hear. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he despised the shame of being on the cross, suffering for sinners, suffering for sins, and endured the cross. He endured the penalty, the wrath of God upon himself. But more specifically, we can look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, another way of saying sodomite, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But notice what it says in verse 11. And such were some of you. There were some of those at the church of Corinth that God saved by his grace who were effeminate, who were sodomites. And God saved them. Christ bore the shame and endured the cross for them. But you're washed. You're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This issue is getting more and more up close and personal. And I dare say in the near future it's going to come right to our front door. In March, U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill called the Equality Bill. Now, it sounds real good. But it is anything but an equality bill, or equality act, as it's called. It, first of all, it adds sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes to already existing non-discrimination laws. Therefore, this would, in effect, prohibit employers and individuals who rent out apartments in their homes, preschools, even religious schools and organizations from making choices based on basic biology, bodily privacy, and their beliefs about nature of the marriage. It would apply to every single recipient of federal financial assistance, including public school, almost all colleges and universities. And though non-discrimination may sound good in this abstract kind of way, in the practice of this law, this Equality Act, as it calls itself, it is a serious threat to women's rights and religious freedom. Well, it would force women to share the private spaces with men, such as bathrooms, locker rooms, and things like that. And in Alaska, the city of Anchorage is using a similar law to force women's shelter to allow biological men who identify as women to sleep just 3 feet away from a women who have experienced rape, sex trafficking, and domestic violence. Again, shower facilities, restrooms, locker rooms in schools, which has already happened in Pennsylvania and in the Boyertown area school district. In Decatur, Georgia, a young girl was molested in her school restroom by a boy who was allowed in because of a type of policy that was like the Equality Act. And this Equality Act would apply to the entire nation. Now, this Equality Act also would allow male athletes who identify as female to compete in women's and girls' athletic competitions. We've already seen the effect of that. Even those sodomites who disagreed with it, they're being pounded because they're opposing it. Girls are asking in track meets and places like that, why even try when you got that kind of competition? And what about religious freedom? It would affect nonprofit organizations who simply want to live out and work according to their faith by forcing them to express messages or promote events that violate their deeply held religious convictions. It would forbid churches and religious nonprofits from requiring their employees to live out their religious beliefs about marriage, sexual morality, and distinction between the sexes. For one Massachusetts church, that would mean it would have to open the women's shelter for victims of domestic violence to biological males. I mean, the list goes on and on. I don't have time to even read all the different things that I had read about. But let's just say this. Some people may ask the question, well, what about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act? Doesn't that give us some kind of protection? Well, that is not going to help one bit. It's going to override that piece of legislation. We've had, it's just not equal at all. The bottom line is, laws must respect freedom and promote justice for every citizen, no matter who they are, and the society that protects everyone's freedom to peacefully live according to their beliefs promotes an environment of a mutual respect among Americans, all walks of life. And the Equality Act doesn't do that. It goes entirely against that. Now, at this point in time, I don't know if Congress has dealt with this act yet. Mitch McConnell, I've heard that has said that he has vowed to block it. And President Trump has vowed to veto it if it ever makes it to his desk. I hope and pray that happens.
Amen.
But like I said this morning, they're going to keep bringing this stuff up. They are not going to stop. And we need to not stop praying for fervently and earnestly and speaking the truth. Because we may have a very, very small window of opportunity of liberty that we enjoy today.
Amen.
Jesus said, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." And then he says, "But I say unto you," in Matthew 5:44, "love your enemies, bless them with that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Love doesn't rejoice in lies. It rejoices in the truth. We cannot rejoice in what's going on in our country today. One thing that's encouraging, as we look back at the text again that we used, in Isaiah 3:9-10, "The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing." It's going to be well with us no matter what. And then Proverbs 16:17 says, "For the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with a lowly than divide the spoil with the proud." And then Jeremiah, in his day, in which it was such an ungodly atmosphere in which he lived, he said there in Jeremiah 20:11, "But the Lord is with me." He's with us as a mighty, terrible one. "Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten." There's going to be a time where you can either be ashamed now, or you can be ashamed forever. It says there in Jeremiah 23:40, "And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten." And of course, that applies to any sin, but it applies to sodomy as well. God help us to have a compassion, be clear as a bell as to our position. But don't you hate them by not saying something to them. That's hateful. I'm not going to say that every single time that that's what should be done. I know casting that which is holy to dogs is forbidden. But God does save some of those dogs. May God give us wisdom to know how to be a blessing to those who will one day, if they don't repent, be in everlasting shame and contempt before God. Well, let's all close with a word of prayer.